All right, everybody, come on. Aren't you glad to be at church today? Man, I'm glad you guys are here. We're in week two of a series we've called Established in 2012. We've done a series like this really for the last 12 years. We've done a series like this at some point throughout the year, usually around this time or summertime as we lead into summer, just talking about the hope of the church and the why behind Cultivate Church, all right? When we launched our church in 2012, we moved here in 2011, one of the primary things we heard from most people, primarily folks in the church world, is, why are y'all planting another church? And if you're in Alabama, if you're in the South, you're like, I get that. There's a church on every corner, right? It's called the Bible Belt for a reason. But we know the truth is, even in Shelby County alone, if every person in Shelby County were to decide to wake up on Sunday and go to church, y'all know there wouldn't be enough seats in all of the churches in all Shelby County to even remotely contain the folks that would show up on a Sunday morning at every single church in Shelby County. What does that mean? It means that we're actually behind as a local church in planting more churches. If we want to see every person follow Jesus and know who he is, it's just going to take more of them. More of us. And that's the hope. We planted this church in 2012, and man, we've seen God do a lot of incredible things over the last 12 years. And today, this month, all month long, we're talking about just what God has specifically called us to as a local church. We're not the church. We're not the only church. We're a part of the body of Christ around the world. Millions of people, starting yesterday, millions of people all through this weekend, all over the world, are worshiping Jesus together as a part of the body of Christ. And it's an honor that we get to be a part of that. So go ahead and pull out your notes, and we're going to talk through today the second part of this series. We've titled today's message, Not Just a Face in the Crowd. Our theme verse is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It's right there on the top of your notes. We can read it together. It says, Now I say, this is Jesus speaking, I say that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all of the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now I love that verse. There's an actual more literal translation. The original Greek actually says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's pretty cool because I don't know about you, but I've never been attacked physically by a gate. I've done some pretty dumb things, and I ain't going to say I've never been hurt physically by a gate. Right? But I've never been attacked. Why? What was Jesus saying in that moment? He was saying that the gospel is ever advancing. The gospel is ever moving forward. That no matter what the enemy would do in this world, he can't prevail against an advancing gospel. And so Jesus said this in Scripture, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He is a liar, the father of lies. He is the enemy of the world. Like, it is him, the prince of darkness. There is an enemy to God. It is him. But I want you to know that the enemy has never been on attack. The enemy has always been on the run. And apart from the local church doing what it's supposed to be doing, right? The enemy, like the gates of hell will not prevail. There's no defense that the enemy has against a thriving, God-honoring, ever-moving forward local church. And so today we're going to talk about what does it look like, part two of this, of the call of God on our church's life. Last week, week one, if you're new, maybe this is your first time, the first message was whosoever will. We talked about that. We said we're a whosoever will church. God's called us for God. We believe this with all of our heart. For God so loved the world, all people, in every place, from every background, from all kinds of sin. Y'all know this, right? Like, the world, just because we're in church on Sunday morning, we're all broken, sinful, lost people in need of a Savior. All of us. There's no sin different than others. Like, it all separates us from the glory of God, the presence of God. We need Jesus to rescue us from it, and we're a whosoever will church. The church is for everybody. But I want you to know, as glad as I am that God meets us all where we are, meaning there's no question that's off limits with God. There's no doubt that's off limits with him. He will gladly meet us all right where we are. But God never leaves us where he finds us. He always grows us. The whole world, it's an old churchy word called sanctification. It means this, that I am ever growing to become more like Jesus. He does that, and I'm so thankful that here I stand, about to be 40 years old this month, and I've been following Jesus since I was 13 years old, and I am not the same as I was over the course of my life. God has continually drawn me closer to Himself. And so what does it look like for us as a church to be that way for everyone in the world? Like, no matter where you are, I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what kind of philosophies you're trying to wrestle with and think through as it relates to your faith. Come be a part. God wants you in His family. We're all a part and can be a part of the family of God. Zacchaeus, we talked about last week, was changed forever because Jesus looked up and found him, right? Because he met him where he was. And so today, the title of today's message is not just a face in the crowd. If you've been around here very long, you've heard us say that often. Nobody's a face in the crowd. Every person matters. Every person matters. This is a big statement. It's a large statement. We believe it's the heart of God. We believe of all the things, like scriptures teach us that God knows the number of hairs on your head or the lack thereof, right? So some of us, right? Like God knows, and I am in that camp. I'm noticing almost weekly at this point, they're letting go. And the unfortunate part of that, side note, okay, rabbit trail, the unfortunate part of that is my wife has already told me at one point in my life how ugly I am, bald. Not everybody, she said me specifically. And unfortunately, I am headed that direction, y'all. So I'm not sure what that's going to say for our relationship in the next couple of years. But God knows. He knows everything about you intimately. He knows everything about your life and my life. He knows every dumb, stupid decision I've ever made in my life and ever will make. He knows every dumb, stupid decision you've ever made in your life and ever will make. He knows every doubt that you have, everything that you're trying to reconcile in your life. God knows you. He loves you. People matter. Like, that's the hope. Like, nobody's a face in the crowd. God knows us all. Now, the reality is, for Cultivate Church, for that kind of statement to be true, Cultivate's a pretty large church. You may not know this because we have multiple worship times across multiple campuses, but at Easter, we announced it a couple weeks ago, at Easter, we had over 1,300 people worship with us on Easter, and on any given Sunday, there's over 800 people that walk through the doors of a worship experience. That does not even remotely include all of the people that participate in our church throughout the week in small groups and in relationship and all of the stuff. We literally have an impact of thousands of people across Shelby County through this local church. What am I saying? I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm not saying that pridefully. I'm saying that if we are going to make that truth a reality, no one is just a face in the crowd. It can't happen with just a handful of people. That responsibility can't fall on a single pastor. It can't fall on an individual. Like, we have to recognize if people matter to God, then people matter to us. People matter to God more than anything else in the universe. Y'all know that? Like, more than anything else in the history of the universe, people matter to God. Brandon, how do you know that? Well, let me show you. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That whoever, everybody say whoever, 1, 2, 3, anybody that would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. He bet His bank on humanity. He bet His bank on humanity. There was nothing that He wasn't willing to give to rescue people back to Himself so that we could glorify Him and enjoy His presence forever. That's the hope of the gospel. And so because people matter that much to God, people should matter that much to you and I. It should matter to us. So Cultivate Church was created 12 years ago as a place, a safe place for people who are far from God, who have been hurt by the realities of this world, to find healing and rescue and relationship and redemption back to Jesus. He tells a story in Matthew chapter 18. He tells it in Luke 15 as well. We'll get to that in a little bit. But in Matthew chapter 18, his story is he says there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one wandered away. And he said, what should that shepherd do? He said, won't he leave the 99 and go find the one and look until he finds it? And when he finds it, won't he carry it back on his shoulders and bring it back and call everybody together, neighbors and all, and say, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. Not one is more important than the other. There's no human on this earth, there's no person in this world that matters less to God than you or I. We're all, he loves us all. We matter to him. And so I have to let you in on a secret. We can't do it. A staff can't do this. A pastor can't do this. One individual can't do it. We all have to fall in love with the world, people, and leading them to Jesus. What does that look like for us? So in that context, I want to share with you three statements that I believe are valuable. They're values in our church, and they're what God's called us to, and I think it matters for you and for me as it relates to us living our life on purpose in a way that honors Jesus. So let's pray, and we'll dive into our notes this morning. God, thank you for your word. It's alive and breathing. It's for us, and I pray in the name of Jesus. God, as we walk out this hope, the vision, your vision for the local church in this place through Cultivate Church, God, I pray, God, that we walk out of this place inspired to live our life on purpose in a way that honors you. God, may you get all the honor and all the glory out of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, number one, write this down. First statement is we are the church. We're not a place. We're not a logo. We've been saying this for a long time around here. It's not a street corner. It's not about a style. It's not about a form. It's not about a kind of music or a translation of the Bible that we would teach out of. The church is not a place. The church is a people. We are the church. We are the church. So Paul talks about this. If you got a Bible and want to turn to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be there a good bit of our time this morning. Paul says it this way: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. We all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. I love this in verse 15. He says, if the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the hand, that doesn't make him any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make him any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. How strange would it be if we only had one body part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We're all different parts of one body. We've said this for a long time. The church isn't a place, it is a people. If this were a place that you went to, if church were some country club that everybody got membership in and we all just received benefits from a local church in some way, form, or fashion, if that's what it was and that's what many people treat it as and that's what many people even outside of the church think of it as, some just cultural gathering that people go to. Y'all, if that's the case, there are zero. Everybody say zero, one, two, three. There are zero reasons to add one more thing to your calendar. I mean, everybody's busy, right? Everybody's got stuff going on. We're all trying to raise kids. Our schedules are full. We're trying to figure out our marriages, our jobs, our health, our finances. Like the whole world, like who in the world has time just to add one more thing to your schedule? Jesus didn't say to simply live a life with a full schedule, did he? No, he didn't. That's why I believe that there are many people, Christians included, there are a whole lot of people who are just exhausted with life, We get up every day and we go to work and we come home and we, like, sometimes it's dark when we leave and dark when we get home and our schedules are crazy and we go from ball game to ball game and extracurricular school event to extracurricular school event and play to play and stuff to stuff and small group to small group. And by the end of the week, we go, man, where in the world has the time gone? No. We're not a place to go. It's not just something to do, a social event to put on your calendar. We don't just live full, busy lives. We, according to Jesus, live our lives to the fullest. Jesus said, I came to give you life to the fullest. His life to the fullest wasn't just another busy schedule. It wasn't just more things to accomplish. No. We gather in large groups like this every week and in small groups in our homes and around our communities to regularly apply God's life-changing truths to our marriages and to our kids and to loving our neighbors and to strengthening our relationships. Like, that's the hope of the world. If we're simply just going to something, if you're simply just attending something and not being the church, chances are you're pretty exhausted. Because there's something bigger to the local church than just a gathering to attend. You are a part of the body of Christ. Now, I brought my handy-dandy Mr. Potato Head to help illustrate this scenario. Did you guys know, I found this out this past week, this was the very first ever toy advertised on television. Anybody know that? 1953, the very first toy advertised on television. And in 1953, because of that advertisement, it earned $4 million in 1953 over the course of a few weeks after that advertisement. Changed the whole game. Now, everybody in here, including me, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm thinking, first toy ever advertised, it was a potato. And that guy made that's like somebody told me today, that's almost like, I don't remember the number. I mean, it's a lot of money today. Inflation, add all the stuff, right? A lot of money involved with this Mr. Potato Head. And I'm like, I'm 40 years old. Surely I could have come up with an idea like this at some point. You know what I mean? Anybody, right? His pants are on backwards. There we go. All right, so we've got, like, this represents the body of Christ, right? Everybody has a part. He said, if you're an eye, how in the world would you smell? We've got the hands and the feet. All of us play a role. I heard a message preached 20 years ago from a youth pastor talking about the big toe. He said, don't nobody want to be the big toe, but somebody's got to be the big toe, right? But it's a reminder that all of us are a part of the body of Christ, right? Like, we all have body parts. Like, we're all a part. Some of us are the ears. Some of us are the hands and feet of Jesus. Some of us are the nose. Some of us, like, we all are a part. And how crazy, right? How crazy would it be? How silly is it for somebody to go, well, I'm just here on Sundays. I'm gonna be here for an hour, and then I'm out. Peace. I'll be back, right? What if, how crazy, how silly is it for the ear to simply say, no, I'm just going to slip in, or the nose to go, no, I'm just going to slip in every now and then, or the eyes. That's why it's so crazy for me, to think that, God forbid, there are people that actually think the church is something that we can only be on Sunday, that we can only be once a week. And unfortunately, this is the reality of what I've learned, is over the last few decades, the local church in America has become really, really, really good at showing up on Sunday and disappearing the rest of the week. We show up on Sunday and we're real good at letting people know what we think and how we feel and what we need to say. And we're real good at showing up at specific times and specific places. But when it matters most, we're silent. When it matters most, we can't be found. Gandhi said it this way, I love your Christ. I say this quote all the time, but I don't like your Christians because they don't look like him. And we look like one thing on Sunday, and we look like a naked potato with no arms or legs the rest of the week. Now, how dumb does that look? That's the value of the local church many times, Monday through Saturday. We are the church. We're not a place. We're a people. We're a people. We're the body of Christ. And you know what I've discovered Learned this the hard way when I was a child. Do you know what happens when something gets cut off of the body? Huh? It dies. It dies. As a matter of fact, it's kind of gross, but I've been on the unfortunate end, not me personally, but I've been on the unfortunate end of an accident where somebody lost a digit in a work environment. And y'all know what you have to do immediately? Find some ice. Get it on ice, get to the hospital immediately, because as time goes on, if you miss it by a minute, if you're a minute too late, they can't save it. Because a body part separated from the body, y'all know what it does? It dies. It dies. And so many of us, we separate ourselves from the body, except for when it's most valuable to us. Here's my question. Is church something that I just check off on a weekly basis? Is it something that I'm just doing? Or am I part of the body of Christ? It's not a place you go. It's a people that we are. That's important because that, number two, write this down. We're the church. We exist for others. We exist for others. He goes on to say, Paul says this, in fact, some parts of the body seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts that we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should be seen, that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such extra honor and care are given to those body parts that have less dignity. This makes harmony among the members so that all of the members care for one another. You want to underline that in your notes. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. Now, there's no better illustration of that particular statement than has anybody ever thrown a muscle out in your back before? All of a sudden, you can't walk. All of a sudden, you can't seem to get around. Like when, if you've ever had a body part not function correctly, you know how much the rest of the body depends on that individual part. The body works together. You know what's extraordinary? I think it's awesome about the human body. Did you know there are no selfish body parts? In the human body, there are zero selfish body parts. Every body part, every part of the body adds value to some other part of the body. You'll know that if you've ever smashed a finger or if you've ever broken a limb or if you've ever pulled a muscle. You never know how much you need that for the rest of the body to function properly until it's not functioning correctly. And you know that everything, we exist for others. Think about it. Like my eyes, my ears illuminate the world and give me sound. My eyes illuminate everything to me so that I can function and make decisions. My feet actually keep me balanced so that I can stand. You never know the value of all the other body parts in the body until you lax in some other part. My dad got sick a couple of years ago. Passed away with cancer last year in July. All kinds. You name it, he had it. But in 2021, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. Fought through that over the course of 2022. And I've still got the voicemail in my phone. I'll never delete it. I've got the voicemail in October of 2022 where he told me, Brandon, I'm cancer-free. I just got my last scan. I'm cancer-free, and I just thought you should know that. And we celebrated. And then if you've gone through this with anybody, maybe you or your family or somebody in your family, whenever you've been diagnosed and overcome cancer like that, you get regular scans. And so we celebrated all of that. And then in January, he went back for just a regular checkup, and he was scanned again, and they found a tumor on his liver. And so we go in and we begin to walk through the process again, and they tell us, unfortunately, it's liver cancer. We're not real sure what kind. We're going to figure all of that out. And we go through over the next couple of weeks figuring what that looks like, and then we find out it is liver cancer, and it has attached itself to an artery in which they can't do surgery because it was too dangerous because of the artery that it was attached to. And so we begin to discover that this is probably going to be a terminal illness, and we don't know how long it's going to last. We think that we can slow it all down with certain medications. We think we may be able to have an extended runway to end of life. And so we began to work out what that process looks like. And so in the middle of all of that, come March, we have another scan of his liver, only to find out that cancer had returned in his lungs. And it was an aggressive, fast-growing, expanding cancer in his lungs. And they said, we're going to have to put a pause on the liver because this is faster growing. And now we got to develop a process to attack the cancer in your lungs. And y'all, from the time, from January until April, when he was supposed to have rapid, medicine being added, we couldn't do anything because things kept coming so quickly. And so in that little few month period, cancer had ravaged his body. And it was hard. And we didn't know where to go or what to turn to and what to do. And it was difficult. It was a hard season. And they told us we may have 22 months left. They said probably with all of the stuff that's going in April, they said we may have 24 months with all of the treatment. We think we could probably extend the runway that far. We had till July, and it went quickly, and it was hard, and I didn't know what to do, and I'm going to be honest with you, it wasn't really very pastoral in those couple of months. It was like I felt a lot like the man praying to Jesus I talked to you about earlier, saying, God, I believe, but man, you're going to have to help my unbelief. There was a lot of whys, and a lot of what's, and a lot of how could, and a lot of why, what's going on. Just led my father to the Lord just a few months earlier. And like he gets to live the rest of this season. He's going to know you, Jesus. And it was a hard season. And I can tell you, it wasn't a place that I went to that made a difference. It wasn't. It wasn't a walls. It wasn't a facility or logos, or it wasn't a style of worship, and it wasn't a translation in the Bible. It was the people of God that made the difference. It was my small group showing up week in and week out, and they would, because I was round, it was about a 120-mile round trip to go pick up my dad. I did it every week for about 8 months. Every single week, I would go pick him up, and we would go to treatments, and we would go to doctor visits, and we would sit for hours at the hospital, and we would go back every single week, and people in my life showed up. Sometimes people I didn't even know knew what was going on. They would show up, and they would bring gas cards and money and food, and they would just sit in silence sometimes, and they would just be with you, because sometimes you don't really know what to say in hard situations. But I knew then, and I still can't understand now, how people make it in life apart from other people who love God and just want to see His best for your life. I want you to know today, we're the church. We exist for people. We don't exist to say, look at us and look at how creative we are and how good we are and all the stuff that we do. We exist for people. People in your life are hurting. People in your life need community. They need somebody that loves God, and they need somebody who's willing to overlook flaws and failures and all the other stuff and say, just come and be a part. We're the body of Christ. We exist for others. I need you to know something today. If you're a follower of Jesus here today, you need to know that there are no selfish body parts. And God forgive the local church in America that has come across as a selfish body over the last couple of decades. May we repent of that, and may we turn our eyes outward to the harvest that Jesus so greatly reminds us of. And may we live our lives, not just on Sunday, not just one day a week, but every single day as the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus. May we not take it off once a week. May we live every single day living our life for the cause of others. Who on your job, who in your neighborhood, who in your school needs to see Christ lived out in your life? I need you to know something today. There's a lot of folks that go to this church that are a part of Cultivate Church, and we can't live out that principle with just a handful of people. Every day where you go, when you walk out of these four walls, the work begins. The call is on us. We are the church. We exist for others, last thing I'll share, is we all have a role. We've all got a role. I love it. He goes on to say, he finishes up in chapter 12. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. You go, well, I don't really feel so much a part of it. You're a part of it. Here's some of the parts God's appointed for the church. First are apostles. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Then those who had the gift of healing. Then those, listen to this. This is a, y'all think about this. This is listed in all those gifts that everybody likes to go, oh, look at all that. Then those that can help others. You go, I can't do all that stuff. You can help somebody? Right. I can help somebody. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Y'all, do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret in unknown languages? No, of course we don't. It's why we need everybody. Do we all have the gift of hospitality? Nope. Do we all have an eye for details? Uh-uh. Right? Do we all like children? No. Can we all sing? No. I think I can sing. Y'all don't know this, but for years, like on our worship team, they have in-ear monitors, and our microphones are attached to their in-ear monitors. And every now and then, I'll turn my microphone on before I'm supposed to get up on the platform, and worship will just hit me right, you know what I mean? And I'll start singing, and you'll see all of them like make funny faces, you know? Because I'm in their ear. I think I'm in tune. I think they just don't get it. You know what I mean? Not all of us can do those things. All of us can't do everything. That's why there's no selfish body parts. We all add value to the whole body. I'm the most unobservant person on the face of the planet, okay? Some of y'all are like, yep, that's true. Like, I just don't notice things, okay? Like, you know, when my wife comes in with a new haircut and a new color, somebody's got to tell me. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you need to notice these things. A couple of weeks ago in Pelham, down 31 across from Publix, there used to be a Rite Aid. Anybody like that? And it's been dilapidated for a while. You know what I mean? Like I did not know this. I have passed that place over the last 3 weeks 20 times. And just so happened this past week, we passed that street corner and there was a brand spanking new gas station. And I told my wife, I looked, I said, God almighty, they put that thing up quick. I said, man, that thing is nice. That used to be a Rite Aid. She went, oh, my God. She said, Brandon, that thing's been there a year. She said it took them a year and a half to build it. I said, I didn't know. I'm like, I just literally know. I am the most unobservant thing. I'm glad that's not a role I always have to play. Right? There are some things I can't do. There are some things I am not qualified to do in the body of Christ. Like, I'm not. You don't need me paying attention to a lot of details. You don't need me doing all of those things, right? But I know this. I've found my place, and I know what God's called me to, and I know if I can do that, and somebody else can meet their role, and we can all be the body of Christ together. Listen, if we simply attend church instead of being the church, people are going to get the wrong idea that church is something that I go to and not something that I am. And there's going to be thousands of people across Shelby County in our lifetime that fall away from God and don't know Him. And heaven matters, and eternity is real. And y'all, if we can start being the church, we can deplete hell and populate heaven, and it makes all the difference. We exist for the world, and we all have a role. I want to share with you one more passage of scripture in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 15. We talked about it earlier. Jesus said, I left the 99. He said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that he lost and finds it? And when he's found it, won't he joyfully carry it home on his shoulders? And when he arrives, will he call together his friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep? And in the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Here's my question. Who's your one? Who's your one? Who are you willing to leave and go find? Who are you willing to live your life for their cause Monday through Saturday? The church isn't the church on Sunday. The church is the church every other day of the week. It matters. I want to pray with you. Will you close your eyes and bow your head? Our band's going to come. They're going to play some music. Nothing funny or weird, I promise. It's a moment for you and the Lord. I believe this with all of my heart. This is a call on our church. We are the church. We exist for the world. And we have a role, all of us individually. And I want you to know that role is not just showing up on a Sunday and lifting up the name of Jesus together. As great as that is, the work of the church starts tomorrow. The work of the church starts when we walk out of these doors. God, forgive us for putting on the body and taking it off when we walk out of these doors. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, that's me. Friend, I don't even have a relationship with Jesus. I don't even know what that looks like. But there's something inside of me right now as I'm sitting here that says I need that. You would simply say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry I've done it in my own strength and my own ability. Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross and you came back to life, conquering death, hell, and the grave. And from this moment forward, I accept you as my Savior, and I follow you as Lord of my life. Thank you for salvation. And Father, I pray for the body tonight, today. God, I pray for our church. Thank you, Lord, for using us. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. And so, God, I pray for every person in this room as we walk out of these four doors, remind us of the harvest that's set in front of us. As we walk into our workplaces tomorrow, as we walk into school tomorrow, as we drive through our neighborhoods, God, remind us that we are the church and we exist for others. It's not a place we attend, it's a people that we are, and oh, that we would be the people of God that would make a difference in our spheres of influence. You'll get all the glory and all the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church, can you honor Jesus this morning? Come on, he's worthy. Hey, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, mark that on your Connect card. We want to celebrate with you, but we also, man, we want to send you some next steps in your faith journey as well, okay? You're not in this thing alone at all. A lot of folks want to link arms and do it together. We're going to transition to an opportunity to give. If you're our guest today, this isn't for you at all. This is for those of us that call Cultivate Church home. Matter of fact, we'd say don't give. Plenty of ways to give up on the screen. However you choose to give, I just want to say thank you for your generosity. Y'all, it makes a difference. We're the hands and feet of Jesus here in Shelby County and all over the world because of your generosity. So thank you, thank you, thank you for giving and being a generous church. Hey, would you stand? I'm going to pray a blessing over you as you're dismissed this morning. Father, thank you for our family. God, thank you for the work you're doing in us and through us. May we walk out of these four walls, live our life on purpose in a way that honors you, and may it make all the difference in our sphere of influence. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. We love you guys.